Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 6th of July, recording at 8:13 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, the big debate in the financial community currently, which has been reflected in my comment of the day, is, are we going to get fire inflation or ice deflation? Now, you know my view, but I'll review it very quickly, that we won't be seeing a preponderance of one or the other. The immediate problem is inflationary expectations, which Greenspan has started to tackle. I agree with people who say that the inflation isn't really going to take off, at least not this year, not in this immediate cycle. But I have maintained that central banks always are going to err on the side of inflation, and at least those with any intelligence or sense of financial history. And therefore, inflation will be ascendant over time. But the immediate problem, as many people have pointed out, including myself, is that as the Fed starts to raise rates, that borrowing costs, both at a government and at an individual level in a number of countries, and not least the US and the UK, are such that what it will really do is start to choke off the recovery. And therefore, the central banks will have to back off. And what they're really doing, what Greenspan's really doing, is reloading his war chest a little bit. He hopes that he can get in perhaps 100 to 150 basis points of rate hikes in here without killing off the economic recovery. Well, he's got a reasonable chance of succeeding in that effort, provided, and we're back to Harold Macmillan's events, Dear Boy events, provided that there isn't a disaster regarding oil prices. Now, I'm not in the business of predicting disasters. I've seen the end of the world unsuccessfully forecast on too many occasions to try to improve on that record. But let's take oil. This is where the greatest risks actually lie for the global economy. And we do know about the efforts to sabotage the Iraqi oil pipeline and the attacks that have occurred. And it's very difficult to defend that. And we know that all is not entirely well in the House of Saud. So really, if we get oil established above $40 a barrel, let alone having it spike higher, that's obviously going to cause problems. And while the immediate impact would be inflationary, the lasting impact would be deflationary, because it's such a heavy tax increase on consumption and corporate spending. But particularly the consumption side, which is so important for the Western economies in particular. Now, conversely, if the flow of oil is not only maintained but increases, so that we got oil, I mean, I don't think we're going to see oil going a long way down for a very long time, if at all. But if we were just to see oil sort of trading mid-price, and I'm talking NYME crude here, which is currently at $39.57, up $1.18, if we see that trading, say, in the mid-30 regions, then global GDP growth would no doubt be somewhat stronger. And then Greenspan and other central bankers that are raising rates would be able to raise them higher without seeing a severe economic impact. But the point is that, as many people have pointed out, that Greenspan and other central bankers raising rates are very unlikely to be able to raise them as far as they might like to head off the inflationary pressures such as they are. So look for this to wax and wane, and sentiment. Certainly sentiment regarding the fire or the ice, and central bank policy regarding the threat of fire and ice. But over the long term, as I say, I maintain that inflation will get the upper hand. And that's absolutely inevitable if we have a synchronized global economic recovery. Now, that's certainly going to run into some flack in 2005 and 2006, and not least because of the higher interest rates and the oil prices and so on. But we can discuss that as as we get closer to those couple of years when whoever's in the White House is certainly going to try to rein in some of the excesses. Okay, let's go back to markets here right now and what we can conclude. We've got quite a bit of follow-through on the downside in here today in the European markets, but if you've had a chance to look at Comment of the Day or if you've covered global indices, you'll notice that most of the Asian markets, certainly the emerging Asian markets, were on the upside today. And that's the little bright light here for equity investors, because I've so often said that those are leaders. Are they suggesting that maybe the European indices and the North American indices will only go down on this oil scare for a while, but find support near their range lows for the year and then bounce back up? Well, that's putting positive spin on it, and I wouldn't rule out that possibility or any other possibility. But the immediate, excuse me, message from the European indices and the North American indices is that they failed at the upper boundary. Okay, no doubt, as I said before, the oil price is a factor in the psychology. But normally, within a trading range, when a number of investors and dealers and market makers see failure near the higher side of the range, they'll say, okay, if it can't break out, as many stockbrokers or many of the broking organizations were hoping, if it can't break out of these ranges, then we're going to go down and look at the lower side of the ranges, and that's the odds-on bet. And that's why I'm holding my existing short positions, which are now coming back into the money, and why I added a short position by doubling up on my mid-30 position. I'm not getting heavily aggressive in here. One, I don't want to, because I'm going away in August, and I've got probably more positions than I would like to travel with in any event. But I would say at this time I would not want to be putting new money into the stock market. My advice had been to lighten positions on the rallies, I've been saying all year, and we had an opportunity to do that. I'm still running a few long positions, but they tend to be mostly in the mining areas, such as Newmont Mining and that Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust, and also the UK company Fenner, which amazingly it's behaving as if it's a takeover candidate. And I'm not starting rumors there. I've got no inside information on it whatsoever, but it hasn't had a down day in over a month. You know, it's had some unchanged days, but it's just very steady up and continuing to rise. So I'll stay with the chart. I'll hold on to that for a while longer. And you know, I've got in my pension fund and in some of my ISA accounts, I've got a few positions in the Aberdeen Newtye Fund, and I've also got the J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust. Those are investment trusts. I don't think the charts look particularly propitious at this particular time, and I'm not keen to be adding to those positions in here, although I did nibble a tiny bit recently in the Newtye Fund. But emerging Asia is where I really want to be over the long term, but I've got to trade it. I have a bit. In other words, so when we get accelerating rallies, we want to be lightening positions into those. And when we get the big shakeouts, go back in and buy more. Okay, looking around, Wall Street has reduced its gains in the last 15 minutes or so, but the Dow is still down 51 as I speak, 8 points nearly on the S&P. And a big 39 points on the Nasdaq Composite, nearly 2%. But the Dow was down 80 at one stage. And with the oil price as strong as it is in here right now, I'd be surprised if we got a major recovery. Bond markets, a little bit of easing in the US treasuries in here today, but they had a big day yesterday, and not yesterday, Friday. And that's still, the market was closed yesterday, of course. And they're still rallying up into this top area, and I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see a little bit more of that if this stock market sell-off continues over the next week or two, at least as I expect. I'm not doing anything in the bonds here yet, but I'm hoping these rallies go a little bit further, enabling me to put out short positions. Now, in the currencies, we've got a soft yen in here again today. Now, no currency has maintained strength for very long in here, but the yen has been a bit softer. This is partly due to concern over the government losing support in the election in Japan. Once that's out of the way, I would expect the yen, whatever happens, I'd expect the yen to start appreciating again against the US dollar for sure, which is currently at 109.50, 51. Euro dollar, the euro has basically been just generally steady. Had that big day, I think it was yesterday or was it Friday? Can't remember. But at any rate, it's at 122.94. It's virtually unchanged on the day here. But firm pattern overall suggests to me that the euro is going to be ranging somewhat higher. Metals. This was quite interesting in here today. We had sell-off in gold. It fell down to 389 at one stage, currently down 570 at 392.55. I haven't seen any news on that, except gold is mostly in a ranging pattern, as I've said all along. These are the early days of a secular bull market. And that affected some of the other metals. Silver fell quite sharply at one stage, but it's recouped most of its after-hours trading here at 598 on the September contract. Now, the industrial metals were very strong yesterday, and before I put those up, I'll just mention palladium up a little bit in here today in that precious metal sector, 221.05. I've still got a position there, as you may recall. And the base metals, though, they closed softer here this afternoon. They were up in the morning. I've seen this lead come back in here a bit, back at 8:51, down 22 today. I'm still holding on and hope, wanting that backwardation to continue to work for me. And I think my position expires on the 4th of August. So I'm starting to, although most of the backwardation is in the very nearby dates, and I will have to close out beforehand, given the nature of these rollovers. Nonetheless, I'm still accumulating backwardation points, and the pattern is still basically firm overall. But a little bit of profit taking in this market today. Orange juice, that's been my big winner, one of my two big winners in here quite recently. And yeah, I might have mentioned that I was a little bit concerned about the tail on the chart on Friday, and I wanted to see a firm day in here today. And well, we certainly had that, closing up at a new recovery high here, up to 2.1 cents at 67.75. I'm just running a tight trailing stop on that. The story on this that it must be a bit of an influence in here is that Australia has reported, I just saw this today, Australia has reported its first case of citrus canker in 11 years. Well, what is canker, citrus canker? Well, it's apparently some sort of disease that causes the fruit to fall off, and so that has certainly helped to trigger some of the short covering that was being telegraphed as a prospect on the chart in recent months. So that's been purely a chart-to-chart trade, but also in the knowledge, looking at long-term charts, that those of us who participated, and I know a number of you did, we were buying orange juice at the all-time historic, hysterical lows due to oversupply, of course. Now, the other one is natural gas, which has romped up in here today. Now, while I'm inclined to play the orange juice with the trailing stop, unless it accelerates, well, I'm probably play it with the trailing stop, tight trailing stop anyway. In other words, the moment this starts to falter, I'll be coming out, taking the profit. With a natural gas, which has been so rangy, it really has paid to grab the profit, and I may well do that. In here, particularly as one of the reasons behind the oil price strength has been that attack that occurred on Sunday on the Iraqi pipeline, which has apparently halved the production, but it normally doesn't take more than a few days or a week at most to repair these things. And as I've said before, the nature of an event such as this is that once you get the shock and then the market responds to it, then it's discounted, and unless the news keeps getting worse, the prices that rose, in this case in response to the oil price damage, will start to fall back. So I may well grab that profit. I probably will grab it this week. And the old bird in the hand story. And so that's pretty much it for another day in these ever entertaining and exciting markets, which continue to offer a number of short-term trading opportunities but remain the dodgy environment overall for long-term trend runners, because we don't have that many long-term trends. Have a good evening.